The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, come on in. See what's going on here in the 9 o'clock hour. Well, I could tell you some of what's going on here in the 9 o'clock hour. I'll tell you what will be going on at 9:35. A guy that so many of you so deeply and profoundly love, and I do too, been a friend of mine for years, colleague of mine for the many years that he was doing this for a living. And then he went off and ran for governor of California. A lot of people love that. Then he ran for president. A lot of people love that. It's just not enough. That's true of everybody not named Donald Trump. But now everybody says, hey, Elder for VP. We'll ask him about that. Our buddy Larry Elder joins us at 9:35. Between now and then, I've got stuff I haven't gotten to yet. But here we are in the middle of something that I clearly did get to. And I mean, I got to a nerve. So here's how it organically played out. I love when shows go in this way. So I'm just playing some Ted Cruz audio from last night as he's commenting on the enthusiasm gap between Trump and Biden. And it got me to reminiscing, as I will do. I will whittle on the porch and reminisce with you. And it was because obviously Cruz is in another battle here against Colin Allred for his Senate seat. And it's Texas, it's Ted Cruz, he's going to be fine, right? I'd like to think so. And that's what I thought going into 2018. Except, whoops, this total skateboard riding chowderhead named Beto O'Rourke comes within 2.5 points of Ted Cruz. How did that happen? It has to be a combination of things. Not enough Republicans came out for Ted. I guess that's self-evident. But I don't think there was a Cruz enthusiasm gap. I don't think there were a lot of people who were lackadaisical, or as they say in Maryland, lackadaisical, about Cruz. There's some, I don't know, is Ted. I always get to the Ted likability thing, and I never understand it. He's a conservative hero to me. He's been a friend for, more than a decade. Love the guy. Is it squishes? Is it the folks for whom his conservatism is a little daunting? I don't know. Anyway, but let's just say mathematically, not 100% of Republicans ever come out, but if more Republicans had come out for Ted, it wouldn't have been that close. But that wasn't a real problem. Real problem was overperformance by the Democrat. And here's what happened. I like it when Democrat voter turnout is suppressed by the futility of it all. And I'm 80% kidding. By that, I mean where they just go, oh, just please, it's Texas. It's like the Biden voter in Texas. Good luck to you guys, because you know how it's going to go. And I like when things are so deliciously one-sidedly Republican that Democrats, it's essentially an intellectual exercise, if you can even call a Democrat vote an intellectual exercise, where they just go, all right, might as well go. But there was in 2018... I think we've largely stomped this out with some recent elections and another one that we are planning for May 28th, that where the runoff involves just how red, just how deeply red Texas is. But in 2018, there had been a lot of Democrats saying, oh, we might be about demographics and, we might be about to turn Texas purple. We might not be so reliably a red state. And all of that was just piffle. But throw that narrative in with oceans of Beto O'Rourke signs. And where'd that money come from? Where'd all that come from? Ellen and others like her. Deep-pocketed, bi-coastal elites pouring money into the Beto O'Rourke campaign, as I guess they will do with Colin Allred as well. because the left just hates Ted Cruz. So that's probably going to happen again. So it's probably really smart for Ted's people to meet them on the front yard battlefield, the yard sign battlefield. Because again, not to tell, I hate telling the story because it's embarrassing, just a little bit. That's never embarrassing to learn a lesson. And I did. I'm sitting there telling people, don't sweat the sign disparity. I know you can drive through this neighborhood or that neighborhood, and it's like 10-1 Beto signs. You know, Ted's still going to win. And of course he did. But I really came away thinking there's something to this sign nonsense. Here's this word again, optics. If tons of Texas neighborhoods, if some borderline, some 50-50 neighborhoods are not 50-50 yard signs, that's the kind of thing that will allow the occasional Democrat voter to think, holy mackerel, we might win this thing. And we can't have that. We can't have that pipe dream even rattling around in their heads. So we better not have the sign disparity this time. So, and that's where we were. Then started to get a smattering of calls saying that, you know, I'm worried about vandalism to my house if I have a Cruz sign, or my car getting keyed if I have a Cruz bumper sticker. And my, you know, listen, I don't want to tell you to do something, get your, you know, a brick thrown through your window or a key down the side of your car. But if we don't show our support, the terrorists win. And I don't mean I'm calling Colin Allred a terrorist. I mean that the vandals, the threat of political violence will have worked in your life. Okay, there we go. 866-660-5759. We're in Plano. Tony, hey, happy Thursday. How are you?
Happy Thursday to you, Mark.
Hey.
The difference now, and I'm an old fart, and it used to be the political jousting was more of a banter. I've had neighbors that I disagreed with completely. I mean, polar opposites. And we were great neighbors, and it became almost a laughable type circumstance. And now the difference is societal. The gloves are off. We've got a lot of people here that don't have any regard for the United States in general, let alone our system.
Yeah.
And culturally, the answer that a lot of people have is retribution.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I have is not, I don't feel like there's any recourse. We're in a lawless era. And if things happen to you now, I mean, you can go to the police force, and let me tell you, the police force that I live in Plano and Garland, Richardson, man, these people, these men and women are unbelievable. They're great. And I feel very secure, but I feel like you're also looking at a different set of rules, and we are still playing by the rules of political decorum.
Yep. When that ship has sailed what a dilemma, I guess. And Tony, thank you enormously, because if indeed folks are more unhinged, if indeed. And by the way, this is what happens when your side doesn't have facts on its side. You get frustration, you get tantrums, you get juvenile outrage. That's why all this pro Hamas nonsense and the blocking of bridges and all of this garbage, because they got nothing. They can't actually argue that they're the good guys. You know, they can share a Palestinian grievance or two, and that's fine if that's all they wanted to do. But no, it's like, you know, the 10/7 attacks on Israel were kind of okay. This is their position. And when you got that in your head, you're not really in the mood to sit down and debate anybody. You know, this particular year, would you like, as a Democrat, to sit down and debate that the economy is doing well, that the borders are doing well, that gender sanity is doing well, that porn is not on our bookshelves in our schools? Good luck with that. So a lot of people, knowing that the facts are not on their side, lash out and strike out in various unhinged ways. Now, the solution to that, here comes the dilemma, is to beat them. Is to beat them at the ballot box so that those pernicious ideas, it can be shown that the political marketplace has not smiled on them. But it's harder to beat them if everybody's all scared of putting a yard sign up for Ted Cruz or a Trump bumper sticker in Pennsylvania or something like that. We're in Rowlett. Lance, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I think that Ted Cruz will not take for granted this time. I called his office last time and asked for a yard sign.
Yeah.
And they wanted $25.
Uh-oh. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. I always understand fundraising, but whoa,
I think he's learned his lesson.
Yeah, I hope, and Lance, thanks. Because, listen, I totally understand fundraising. Let's have those be separate types of outreach. Number one, if I'm Ted Cruz. If you want to give me $25, thank you very, very much. If you don't want to give me $25, but you'll put my yard sign in your yard, thank you very much for that. And I'm going to tell you, some of those yard signs, I mean, I don't know how you quantify this, but some of those yard signs might be worth more than $25. What would you rather have? If you're okay, this is a tough question, especially since it involves math. In a high visibility neighborhood, like along Mockingbird and University Park or something like that, what would the Ted Cruz campaign rather have? 100 Ted Cruz signs along a 2-mile stretch of Mockingbird or $2,500? You can find $2,500 in the street. 100 Cruz yard signs seen by countless people going, you know, to and from Love Field or to and from Highland Park Village or to and from whatever. Priceless. All righty, we are in Fort Worth. James, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hello, Mark.
Hello, James.
Mark.
Yes, James. Hi.
Hey, Mark, since the Democrats have unconstitutionally ignored the New York impeachment, I think our attorney general or district attorney should indict Joe Biden for human trafficking,
no.
Which is a specific felony.
Well, it is.
With elements. All you have to do is participate in moving humans to trafficking.
I know.
You have to find people who have participated in illegal activities.
Yep.
And all of the information collected in the impeachment could be included in that trial. It could be a grand jury could do it quickly, and you could try them in absentia, and it would be every bit and more valid than what's being done in New York.
Oh, dude, tell me. So something is changed in the last, literally last weeks, that changed the way in which your suggestion should be processed. In using Earth logic, someone could hear that and say, yeah, okay, Joe Biden has these open borders thing, but it's not like he's actually trafficking anybody, but again, didn't we just lock up two parents for stuff they didn't do, for stuff they didn't pay attention to, where all of a sudden their twisted off kid shooting up a school is their fault? We just did that. And that led me, like, the following day to say, all right, how about some of these district attorneys, some of these blue state attorneys general, the proper plural, how about we hold them responsible for things that they don't do, leading to horrible crime on the streets of their cities or in their states? And so if we do extrapolate this out, does an administration hold some level of culpability for the human trafficking? Listen, we can make him a drug dealer too, fentanyl. Because if we're locking up parents for stuff their kids do, is it a president's fault for stuff that people do coming through the open borders that they created? It is not an empty question. James, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 9:23. Okay, deep talk radio trivia question. I mean, deep talk radio trivia question. What bumper music song got added to the Larry Elder Salem Radio Network show because I played it while filling in one day? Answer is Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers and Bustin' Loose. I've never been so proud. Larry Elder is here. It's the least I can do for my friend. With all you've done for me, it's the least. Sean McConnell loved that so much. I think he started playing it because it just fits so well. How you doing, my friend?
Have you ever seen Sean McConnell dance? You don't want to.
I've never met the man.
I would not want to.
I wouldn't know him if he was standing here. We talk all the time when I filled in for you and when I fill in for Prager. That team out there in Salem, Los Angeles is so great. I would love to meet them at some point.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for having me on. It's always great when you allow the black face of white supremacy
exactly
to borrow your audience.
Exactly right. That's what he is. And that's how you know you're over the target, is you're taking on flack. We haven't talked that's in right. a bit. So from Trump on trial to how's November looking and here come the conventions, give me the Larry Elder 30,000-foot view, and then we'll drill down on some stuff you're doing.
Well, I think that Trump will get reelected in November. I think it's going to be tough. Obviously, the media are against him, academia against him, big tech against him. These trials, these ridiculous trials he's got to do, means he's no longer on the campaign trail, all of which was done by design. But I think that so many people are angry about what's happened with the borders, angry about inflation, angry about gas prices. You're finding many blacks and Hispanics now defecting from the Democratic Party. So I think it augurs well for President Trump in November.
And there regarding, is... No, go ahead. Go. Sorry, you're on a roll. Go right ahead. Go.
No, I was going to say, regarding his choice for vice president, I believe, Mark, interested in your reaction, yeah. I believe that it would be smarter, more tactically smart for him to choose a black person than a female. I know he has issues with female soccer moms in the suburbs, but I think there are more gettable black votes than there are gettable female votes in the suburbs. And to that end, I would love for him to pick Byron Donalds. I think the guy is really, really sharp. There's an issue because both of them are from Florida. One would have to change his official residence, but that can be done fairly easily. Mm-hmm. So that's my guy.
Well, there's this other black guy that I always get a lot of response about, and God bless Ben Carson and God bless Tim Scott, but it's you. And Jussie's busy. and it's funny when that has come up, I've thought, okay, and there's a generational thing here. And that's one thing that's really cool about Byron Donalds is, and when I think about Trump Elder, as like, do we need two guys in their 70s? But listen, there are people in their 40s who dream of having the energy of Trump and Elder, two guys in there. Because what are you, 71, 2? What are you?
I'll be 72 in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, dude, but I mean, please, it ain't. Listen, I just saw William Shatner on with Bill Maher. He's 93 and looks half that age. So it's never been about the number of age with Biden or anybody else. So I guess correct. This is you saying you are willing to bequeath this to others. I kind of agree with you. As conservatives, we are the people who don't care about the pigment or the plumbing. I don't care what sex anybody is, what race anybody is. But if there's something about the optics that can be helpful, then sure, let's play to that. And did you see Trump in Harlem at the bodega the other day?
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
You know, my dad lived to be 95, Mark, and he was really, really sharp until maybe 6 months or so before he died. It's not about the age. It's about whether or not you're fit, whether or not you've got it. And Biden obviously is losing it. Trump, when I decided to drop out of the race for president, I go to Mar-a-Lago. We have a little meeting. He's having a big gathering of high-profile donors the same day. He says, Larry, why don't you make your announcement? You're dropping out and you're going to endorse me at this soiree I'm having with all my donors. I said, sure. So it's 1,200 people, Mark. I go on the stage following Trump. Trump stands up there, and, you know, no prompter, speaks for 45 minutes, 50 minutes. My ankles are hurting. My back is hurting. every part of my body is hurting as I'm standing there. He finally calls me over. I talk for 5 or 10 minutes. He goes back on for another 20 minutes. He's 5 years older than I am, and as he bounced off the stage, I could hardly keep up with him. The man is absolutely a force of nature. I've never seen anything like it. I've been following politics since I was a kid. I've never seen a politician like him.
Let me run something by you that I've been floating, that seems a disconnect, but if you think about it, if people think about it, it'll connect, I believe. Trump is a very unconventional, abnormal, can be kind of wheels off guy. But his reelection is a blow struck for normalcy. Like Nixon in 68, who was not the most likable soul at all, it was America saying, listen, those other people are crazy. At least this guy is going to get us back to some level of normalcy. And Larry, it is normal for a country to have borders. It is normal for criminals to go to jail. It is normal to have an economy that's functioning. It's normal to know how many genders there are. The Trump vote is the normalcy vote. What do you think?
Absolutely. In the last 3.5 years, 9 million illegal aliens have come to this country. The police have been under assault by the left that wants to defund the police. Law and order out the door. Inflation, gas prices, this war on gas. You know, we were energy independent. All that stuff is true under Donald Trump. So I think people have now figured out we were better off under Trump than under Biden. The average family of four is spending $1,200 a month for the same goods and services as that family bought 3.5 years ago. It's unacceptable.
For spending a moment on the crime issue, that it's normal for people to be punished for committing crimes. One of the reasons that's not happening is politically slanted district attorneys, and some of them are backed by the large pocketbook of George Soros. You, I believe, you told me you're starting a political action committee to rise up against some of those Soros DAs. Tell me about that.
I've already started it. It's called MakeAmericaJustAgain.org. Go to MakeAmericaJustAgain.org, and you see the agenda. And the idea is to call attention to these soft-on-crime George Soros-backed DAs. They're all over the place. There's a wonderful book called Rogue Prosecutor, written by a couple of researchers from the Heritage Foundation. They used to be prosecutors, about all these people in L.A., in the Bay Area, in Chicago, in Pennsylvania, in New York, that have been put there by George Soros-backed money that are simply not enforcing the law. A bunch of bad guys on the streets, career criminals who are terrorizing innocent people, all because of these soft-on-crime DAs and the soft on crime policies. Like here in California, we've got Proposition 47 and 57 that reduced a whole bunch of categories of crime from violent offenses to nonviolent offenses. Mark, I'm not making this up. Now, serial arson is a nonviolent offense. Assault of a police officer, a nonviolent offense. Rape of an intoxicated victim is a nonviolent offense because of Proposition 57 that's been supported by people like Gavin Newsom. So the idea with Make America Just Again.org is to call attention to this and to recommend that states do what Georgia has done. They set up a commission to investigate these DAs not doing their jobs and then to recommend their removal. The legislature in Georgia passed it. The governor signed it. It's now tied up in court, as everything always is. But that's what I'm recommending that every state do.
MakeAmericaJustAgain.org. And while you're online, why don't you go wherever fine books are sold, and Larry invokes California from where he joins us, and get you a copy of As Goes California, My Mission to Rescue the Golden State and Save the Nation. It's a chronicle of his gubernatorial run, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's spend a second on Brother Newsom. There were folks 6 months ago who said he's clearly going to be the nominee. I think as 2024 rolls out, it is going to be Biden. I don't think there's any strange plan. I don't think they're going to drop Michelle Obama from strings at the top of that. It's him. So, and every time you catch Newsom, they're asking him, do you want to run? He keeps saying no. What do we understand or misunderstand about your state's governor?
Well, certainly he wants to run. Virtually everybody who's governor of California eventually decides to run for president. The only exception was that was Schwarzenegger, because he couldn't, because he wasn't a natural born citizen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he wants to run. But look, the reason he has not announced, even though Biden's numbers are bad, is because of somebody named Kamala Harris. She's on deck. She got chosen because she's a black female. Blacks are the most loyal part of the Democratic base. And if she is drop kicked for some white dude like Gavin Newsom, in the event that Biden can't make it, the black vote, especially female voters, they'll be so angry. They won't vote Republican, don't get me wrong, but they just won't vote, thereby guaranteeing whoever it is to nominate, Donald Trump, obviously, will win. They cannot afford to do that. So he's stuck. This is the race and identity, gender party, and they're stuck with Kamala Harris. So if Biden can't do it, she's up next.
Is that part of how Trump wins? Some of it will be people who maybe don't think they're all that political, but I keep talking about the NBC crew that visited a barbershop in Queens, talked to a bunch of black guys about 25, 28 years old. They remember two presidents, Trump and Biden, and what their quote was, man to man to man, was, I don't really know what I think about Biden, but with Trump, we had money. So that, I think, makes, and that's part of your Byron Donald's argument, is that there is a quote unquote gettable black vote, but is there also a suppressible Democrat vote, from the Palestinian protests to the crappy economy to his unfit behavior on the campaign trail? I think we'll be able to benefit from a Democrat vote that's not quite as on fire as it might otherwise be.
Obviously, 2/3 of Americans believe we're on the wrong track, and that includes a lot of Democrats. I did a video some time ago about Donald Trump's alleged racism. 3.2 million views about how the economy was the greatest ever for black people under Donald Trump, that he secured the border. Why is that a black issue? Because according to the Civil Rights Commission, about 1 million fewer blacks are working than would otherwise be the case if it weren't for illegal alien labor in the country. He supports school choice. 13 public high schools in Baltimore, I kid you not, 13 public high schools in Baltimore, all in the inner city, 0% of the kids can do math at grade level. Over 50 high schools or schools in Chicago, government schools, 0% of the kids can do math at grade level. Yet the Democratic Party opposes school choice, while the party elites, whether it's Gavin Newsom or Barack Obama or Elizabeth Warren, have their own kids in private schools. It's an outrage. He pardoned Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion. There was a move to do that for years by people like Ken Burns, the liberal documentarian, and Sylvester Stallone, the actor. And Obama didn't do it, George W. Bush didn't do it, but Trump did it. He expanded so-called opportunity zones in the inner city, reducing taxes and regulations to spur economic activity. He put on a 10-year basis funding for historically black colleges. He did all these kinds of things, and he's perceived as racism, as racist. If that's racist, he needs to go back to racism school, take a refresher course.
The worst racist ever. Shown by the increasingly young people of color who are showing enthusiasm about him. Let's show some enthusiasm to what Larry's up to. Make America Just Again. Which dot?
MakeAmericaJustAgain.org.
MakeAmericaJustAgain.org. Campaign against the Soros-backed DAs. Let's do this every once in a while. It's going to be a crazy year. We just love you. We think about you all the time. Larry Elder, we love you, and we appreciate you, and thanks for being on.
I appreciate it. As we say in the hood, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Spell that backwards.
And a boom shakalaka to you, my friend. That is the irrepressible Larry Elder. I'm Mark Davis, and I love that man. 949. There you go. You knew it. The great John David Souther. J.D. Souther coming to Arlington Music Hall Saturday.
When the world is ready to fall on your little shoulders.
So what Eagles records did he write?
And when you're feeling lonely and small,
this little thing called Best of My Love.
You need somebody there to hold.
Little thing called Heartache Tonight.
You can call out my name.
Little thing called New Kid in Town. Also had a great duet called Her Town 2 with James Taylor, 1981. This J.D., his own self. You're Only Lonely. So ArlingtonMusicHall.net for tickets for J.D. Souther on Saturday night. For this little shindig, no ticket required. We're just here. And we'll be here tomorrow for the Friday show. We'll see what's going on in the Friday news. Take stock of what has happened in the week gone by. So till then, God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic day. For producer Ron DeKay Moreland on the old X Twitter at producer Ron DeKay, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. And thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. Mike Gallagher is next. And we'll see you tomorrow on Kickoff the Weekend right here on 660 AM. The Answer, I'm Mark Davis. Be good.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.